Your gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much, Lord, for your word. Lord, we ask that as we open your word today, that you may be our teacher. Lord, help us to draw closer to you through this study today. Lord, help us to be more like you. Help us to obtain the mind of Christ day by day and hour by hour. Lord, we pray that you free us from distractions. We ask that you call to our minds the right things that you would have us to think about as we study your word today. Help us to gain a deeper understanding of your love and compassion for us. Bless those who are on the line today, Lord, and be with those who could not make it as well. We humbly ask and pray all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, friends, before we begin today, I just want to have a very quick review of a few of the topics that we have covered before. You know, 4 weeks ago, we talked about how Jesus referred in the book of Matthew, chapter 4, verse 4. In Matthew 4, verse 4, Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." And that Jesus compared the word of God to bread, or he compared it to food. And we learned that it is by a daily study of the word of God that we can gain spiritual strength. For the word of God, the Bible, is our spiritual food. But we also learned, friends, that Jesus is the bread of life, and that it's more than just about having a devotional life. It's about maintaining that relationship with Jesus through study and prayer. And also we learned that Job, David, and Jesus rose early to have that spiritual breakfast, those early devotionals in the morning, to draw closer to God. You know, 2 weeks ago, we also learned about something very important. And instead of telling you about the points, I'd like to illustrate it with an experience that I actually had a while ago. And I was at work one day, and I was very, very hungry. And I knew I should have waited until I got home to eat. But instead, I decided to go to McDonald's and buy some apple pies because I was so hungry. But, you know, I knew it was junk food, and I knew it wasn't very healthy for me. Yet, I gave in, and I bought those apple pies, and I ate them. Well, friends, just a few hours later, when I got home, my kind neighbors had surprised me with some homemade vegetarian Mexican food. And you know what? Mexican food is my favorite type of food, friends. It is like manna to me. And I was so excited to have this Mexican food that I could just gobble up any second. And so what I did is, of course, I prayed and I ate as much food as I could. And you know, on any day of the week, I could have easily eaten the whole plate. But on that day, I could not finish the food. And the reason I could not finish the food was because I had already filled myself up with junk food instead. You know, friends, 2 weeks ago, we discovered that perhaps we are filling ourselves up with the junk of this world instead of the pure word of God. And that we learned that Satan has junk food or junk spiritual food for us. Things which will make us so full of the world that we will not have a desire to eat that spiritual food. We learned about how Satan is using media and movies and evil things on television and music and even novels to transfer his character, his unrighteous character, to us. But we also learned that Jesus has wonderful things found in his word and through godly music that can draw us closer to Christ. Today, we want to continue the topic of obtaining the mind of Christ, and today's topic is called A Higher Calling. I invite you to turn with me to the book of Philippians, chapter 2, as we read our theme verse, and I'd like someone to read the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 1 through 5.
The book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 1 through 5 says, "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus.
Right there in verse 2 it says, let us be of one accord and of one mind. And a few verses later, the apostle tells us what mind we should have. It says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Now, since we have learned that God desires us to have the mind of Christ, it also means that God desires us to have the thoughts of Christ. Wouldn't that make sense, friends? Of course, we cannot have the vast knowledge of God, His omnipotence, but our thoughts should be pure like Christ's. How high and noble are God's thoughts? And just how high of a calling does God have for us? The book of Isaiah actually gives us the answer, and I encourage you to turn there. Would someone like to read the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verses 6 through 9? I'd like someone to read the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verse 6 through 9, and we want to discover how high are God's thoughts. Just how high of a calling does God have for us?
The book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verses 6 through 9 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.
You know, friends, no matter how good we may think we are, no matter how much we are like Jesus, God has even greater and higher plans for us. And that is exciting, friends. He always has something better. We should not be content with the Christian experience we even have now. We should always strive to be more like the lovely Jesus. Our goals are not the Lord's goals for us. Our standards for ourselves, our thoughts toward ourselves, are not the Lord's thoughts towards us. His ideal, His thoughts, are much higher than our thoughts. That's what the book of Isaiah says. And you know, we read in the passage in Philippians chapter 4, chapter 2, verse 5, which we just read, which it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And we think about that passage, and we think, yes, Lord, you have high goals for my mind. You have a high standard of purity and holiness that you desire for me to reach. But I'm just a human, and nobody's perfect. So certainly there must be a limit. I mean, certainly there must be a cutoff line. But you know what, friends? The book, The Desire of Ages, page 250 to 251, says, there is no limit to the usefulness of one who, by putting self aside, makes room for the working of the Holy Spirit upon his heart and lives a life wholly consecrated to God. Friends, I love that quote because it says there is no limit to the usefulness of one who lives a life wholly consecrated to God. Friends, have you ever felt limited perhaps by your old age? The Bible tells us that your age is not a determining factor in your usefulness for God. The Lord used Moses even up to the age of 120 to lead God's people. Friends, there is no such thing as retirement for a follower of Christ. For the Lord always has work for you to do in his vineyard. Or perhaps we feel limited by our youth. But the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 12 says, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. But perhaps we do not feel limited by these things. But could it be that we are limiting ourselves? Today we must ask ourselves the question, is our standard for purity, is our standard for usefulness for God's kingdom, lower than what God has designed for us? Have we set the bar too low, so that we reach our own standard and are pleased? Are we aiming for a standard lower than what God has set for us? Are you comfortable in your present state, friends? You know, a wonderful book called Christ Object Lessons, page 331, tells us that many whom God has qualified to do excellent work accomplish very little because they attempt little. Thousands pass through life as if they had no definite object for which to live, no standard to reach. Such will obtain a reward proportionate to their works. She continues to write, "Remember that you will never reach a higher standard than you yourself set. Then set your mark high, and step by step, even though it be by painful effort, by self-denial and sacrifice, ascend the whole length of the ladder of progress. Let nothing hinder you. Fate has not woven its meshes about any human being so firmly that he need remain helpless and in uncertainty. Opposing circumstances should create a firm determination to overcome them. The breaking down of one barrier will give greater ability and courage to go forward. Press with determination in the right direction, and circumstances will be your helpers, not your hindrances." You know, friends, I love that quote because it says that, remember, you will never reach a higher standard than you yourself set. There is danger in setting our standards to something lower than what God has set for us. There is a temptation, even in the church, to compare ourselves amongst ourselves. We can say, certainly I'm as good as Elder XYZ, or when comparing ourselves to that sister, we can say, I am far advanced in a certain area of the Christian walk. You know, we may never say these things out loud, but we may be tempted to think them. But such is a dangerous path, friends. The book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 10, verse 12, tells us, "For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise." We dare not compare ourselves with fellow fallen men. We are not to look to men for our doctrines or standards. Instead, we are to look to Jesus. You know, friends, one day Jesus was teaching his disciples, and he was trying to break down the low standards of purity and love that men had set up, and instead open the disciples' eyes to God's true standard of holiness, his true standard of love that he has for us. I encourage you to turn with me in your Bibles to that situation, and it's found in the book of Matthew, chapter 5. And I'd like someone to read the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 43 to 48. What was the standard that Jesus was trying to set up for his disciples, and for us as well?
Here Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 through 48, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends his rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect.
Here Jesus is breaking down the low standards and teachings of men, and raising the eyes of his followers higher, to the true love and purity of God. Now, throughout the Sermon of the Mount, you continually hear Jesus say, "You have heard that it was said, but I say to you." Jesus knew that if the followers of Christ were content with the low moral standards of men, only loving those who love you and hating those who hate you, that they would miss out on heaven. Jesus also knew that if they only considered adultery as an action, many would be disqualified from heaven because they were still committing adultery in their hearts. Consider this point that we can draw from Matthew chapter 5. The modern religious teachings during the days of Christ had created a lower standard than what God had designed. And here Jesus was bringing the standard higher. Could it be that throughout the realm of Christianity, the same is occurring today? Friends, that is yet another question that has an answer found in the Bible. In fact, the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, warns us that specifically in the last days, in our time, many will have a form of godliness, but they will deny the power thereof. No, the book, the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 5 that we just read made me feel quite uncomfortable, and perhaps they make you feel uncomfortable too. Is this really the standard that we have for ourselves? Have we really been this loving? It's almost overwhelming, isn't it, friends, to love your enemies? Lastly, in the last verse that we read, here Jesus says something completely radical. He says, "Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect." The thought of being perfect in Christ, the thought of Christian perfection, that's a very high standard, isn't it, friends? But you know, friends, most Christians want a theology that will comfortably accommodate the sins in their life. They want a lower standard. But is God to conform his will to suit our desires? Or is the gospel supposed to transform our lives to fit God's will? The Apostle Paul gives us the answer in the book of Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2, when he writes, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We should not be conformed, but transformed. Beloved, God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. God is able to transform our minds. He is able to transform our characters. Your hope is not in yourself. It is in Christ. In the battle against sin, do not give up. He who wins the war against self must fight. If Satan has knocked you down, get back up, friends. The book Steps to Christ tells us we shall often have to bow down and weep at the feet of Jesus because of our shortcomings and mistakes. But we are not to be discouraged. Even if we are overcome by the enemy, we are not cast off, not forsaken and rejected by God. No, no. Christ is at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Said the beloved John in the book of 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, "These things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Again she writes, "And do not forget the words of Christ, the Father himself. He loves you. He desires to restore you to himself, to see his own purity and holiness reflected in you. And if you will but yield yourself to him, he that has begun a good work in you will carry it forward to the day of Jesus Christ." She She says, pray more fervently. Believe more fully. As we come to distrust our own power, let us trust in the power of our Redeemer, and we shall praise Him who is the health of our countenance. You know, friends, God's standard for His followers of Christ is the highest calling in the world. The book of Leviticus, chapter 11, verse 45, says, I am the Lord who brought you out of Egypt to be your God. Therefore, be holy, because I am holy. Here, God has called us to be holy. That's a high calling. But would God ask you to do something that He knew was impossible for you to do, even by His power? You know, we read the words of Jesus, loving our enemies, be ye perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. And we think perhaps it is impossible. We say, Lord, you don't understand. My heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? But friends, have we forgotten that the God who cleansed the leper instantly can cleanse you of your sins? The same God who opened the eyes of the blind can open your eyes to the wonderful promises and power found in the Word of God. The same God who parted the Red Sea can part the seemingly impossible difficulties in your Christian walk. The God who raised the dead can revive you today. Obtaining a pure mind, obtaining the mind of Christ, overcoming our sin may seem impossible, but the book of Philippians chapter 4 verse 13 tells us that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Jesus has proved at the cross that He will do everything in His power to transform your characters into that which is worthy of entering into heaven. We need only surrender. We need only to surrender our will to Him daily. You know, friends, would you hire someone to do a job that you knew they could not do? Let's say you needed heart surgery, and I applied for the position to perform your open heart surgery. The only problem, friends, is that I'm a computer programmer. I don't know the first thing about open heart surgery. Would you trust me in this life or death situation? Would you hire me to do a job that you knew I could not do? Certainly not. I wouldn't even hire myself. It would not be wise to hire someone who could not do the job that you needed done. You need first to have faith in that person before you hire them. But friends, the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 8 through 10 says, For it is by grace that you have been saved, through faith. And this not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for you to do. Friends, do you know that God has work for you to do in His kingdom? Do you know God has faith in you? Because what we preach to others must be demonstrated in us. God has faith in you. He has called you to do His work in the vineyard, to preach the word, to share the everlasting gospel to a world that is wholly unprepared to meet Him. Yes, friends, our hearts are desperately wicked, but we have a great heart surgeon, a great physician. His name is Jesus, friends. He is able to transform your character if we only allow Him to do so day by day. God desires you to be a representative of Him here on earth. He has chosen you for this purpose. In fact, the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2, verses 9 through 10 says, But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Testimonies to the Church, Volume 7, expands on this point when dear Sister Ellen White says, Seventh-day Adventists have been chosen by God as a peculiar people, separate from the world. He has made them his representatives and has called them to be ambassadors for him in the last work of salvation. Beloved, God wants you to succeed at anything he asks you to do. He has called you to be his representative here on earth. Today, he is calling you to a higher standard. Friends, today's appeal, again, is very simple. It is impossible to have the mind of Christ if we are willing to settle for something less. Friends, have you settled for a lower standard than what God would have you reach? Have you found yourselves comfortable in your current condition? Have you accepted seemingly small yet sinful compromises in your life? Today, Jesus is calling you to a higher standard, to no longer conform to the world, but instead to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Maybe there is something in your life today, friends, that where you know you have been making perhaps even just a small compromise. Maybe it is in diet. Maybe it is in Sabbath keeping. Maybe it is in entertainment. Maybe you have been comparing yourself to others. Maybe you have been following the fashions of this world. But friends, speaking of God's last day people in the book of Revelation, it tells us that they follow the Lamb wherever he goes. And that Lamb is Jesus, friends. Is it your will to follow Jesus today, to allow him to transform your mind and character into his lovely image? Is that your prayer today, friends? If so, then I invite you to bow your heads with me as we just ask the Lord for his help, for he has promised to help us. Will you pray with me? Dear gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much that you have called us to such a high standard, but that you have not just called us, but that you have promised to provide the power to transform our minds and to transform our characters. Lord, when we see the great love of Jesus for us, Lord, we are overwhelmed. And what great and precious promises we have that you desire to transform us from our sinful, lost state into your lovely, wonderful image. Lord, today I pray for each individual here. Lord, help us to see your gracious standards that you have set by sending your Son for us. Lord, help us to live in obedience to all your commandments of love, that we may truly be powerful ambassadors for you to a world. Lord, help us to be transformed into your character. Bless each individual here today. We thank you, Lord, for your promises. We thank you, Lord, that we have confidence that if we ask anything according to your will, that you hear us. And that we know that if we ask, that we have the petitions that we have asked of you. So, Lord, we thank you for hearing and answering our prayers day by day. Lord, be with us each day and grant us victory, we humbly ask and pray. In Jesus' name, amen.